line for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And it is weird doing these off seasons and we're not doing this every week. It's I feel like I'm forgetting something, Kyle.
I'm sure we both are, really. What has it been, 2 weeks?
Yeah, a little over 2 weeks, which, you know, is normal. I mean, we plan this during the off season. We need, you know, we're not any different than the players in the fact that we need a little bit of a reset, and that's what we do now. But we got stuff to talk about. More Flames news, and I expect we're going to be having many more shows over the off season, discussing all kinds of things that I think are going to be happening. And, well, they have to happen because
we have vacancies to fill.
We're over the cap, and we have vacancies, right? So that's news.
What a monster that is, right? Vacancies, but no cap space. So, yeah.
Well, we got good news. The Oilers are out of the playoffs.
Yeah. That was the whole thing about that, just quickly, was like, you know, McDavid saying, like, gonna have their best game of the series. That did not happen.
No. What a mess.
I mean, realistically, the Mark Messier thing, you know, 94, that could have gone either way, too, right? It's so easy to shit on McDavid for it. But I mean, that team still has some serious holes that, they need to fill.
You know, I don't understand, though. They threw their cards down when they signed Campbell in the offseason. And, they committed to him, right? And then they didn't even go to him when they should have went to him multiple times. And, I'm like, wait a minute, that was your guy. Like, what message does that send?
Well, look what happened, or what's happening in Florida. Bobrovsky is having a phenomenal playoff. And Alex Lyon was a starter right up to the playoffs began, or really into the playoffs.
Right? I'm a little different in the aspect that Bobrovsky has been, although albeit he has not played well the last 2 years, was always wanted to be the guy.
Sure. Where when Skinner, you're paying a goalie big money, you would have thought there'd be some point in that series that Edmonton would have turned more to Campbell to, you know, try and turn that thing around. But
yeah,
it's a moot point now.
You know, another thing too, can we please quit with the Flames fans talking about Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, and Daryl Sutter? I'm sick of it. It's done. This fan base crucified Sam Bennett when he was here. And now they're crucifying management for getting rid of him. When they all cheered when they got rid of him. I don't understand.
Well, you know what? That was actually a pretty decent trade for what they got, considering how Bennett was performing at the time. And
it was.
I'm happy that both those guys are doing well. And I think we all knew what kind of player Matthew Tkachuk was. And moreover, I didn't plan on rambling this early, but I'm going to. Trading Tkachuk and getting Uyghur and Huberto and Cole Schmidt was still... You could have got a better return than that? I don't think so.
I don't think...
Uyghur was fantastic second half of the season. If Huberto gets back to like 70-plus point form next year, this trade doesn't look that bad because you weren't going to get more than what they got for him.
Kyle, let's just hypothetically... Gosh, I'm having struggles. If that trade took place tomorrow... With Huberto having an off year this year, would you still not say it was a good trade for the Flames?
It's the best trade in a shitty situation.
It was. We both talked about it the night it happened. Hands tied behind his back, he pulls off that move. But people don't like to live in now either. You know, it's. I don't know.
Well, I wish him luck in his. He's going to be wind up in either, I would say, Pittsburgh or Toronto in pretty short order.
I would think in the coming weeks we're gonna hear news of that, and I think he'll do well.
And maybe that's a good segue to something you mentioned to me before we come on tonight. That you made a really good point about this. That you know, I'd like you to share. So if you want, talk about Brad Tree living and let's talk about that situation. How it was handled by the Flames.
So. So it was reported initially that the Flames wouldn't allow him to talk to other teams, which isn't the truth. He was allowed to talk to other teams. He was not allowed to be hired by another team. And the reason that is because, think about this. So let's say Pittsburgh hires him. They draft two spots ahead of us. Is that smart business for the Flames to allow that? No. That's not smart business. We're not in the business to be nice guys to other teams. Now, well,
because there's a point I want to just interject here real quick. More specifically, in a case like this, you have a general manager who was GM of your team up until a few weeks ago, goes to a team like Pittsburgh, and in so doing, he's probably already doing, you know, a lot of draft preparation. Mm-hmm. So he's taking a lot of information that he had with the Flames. He could conceivably, in theory, go to Pittsburgh and say, hey, based on our scouting in Calgary, this is a guy we want to draft.
Well, you could mesh double the scouts, basically. You can mess all the information you got in Calgary with all the information from the Pittsburgh scouts. That's just
Which isn't to say you would or wouldn't. It's just that it's a possibility you've allowed to have happen, and you can't do that in good conscience if you're interested about the success of your team as far as the draft goes.
Right? It would be stupid business. And also, another point that came up on this. Did you know that this is no longer allowed in the new CBA, but you used to be able to, like, say, all right, you can hire him early, but we want a third round pick to do that.
I forgot about that.
That used to happen. Can't happen anymore, but it used to happen. And everybody's forgotten about that. So, like, when this Treleaven thing, I actually got mad because I had people calling me and telling me, what's wrong with your team? Are they assholes? No, they're not assholes. Do you understand what's really going on? Because I was like, we need to get this out there because this isn't what's happening.
Well, we had a situation a few years ago. A sales guy that worked for us gave us notice. And, I mean, it was a little different in that he was flagrantly almost bragging about having given his notice. And we figured he was going to stay in the business and eventually go to a competitor. Mm-hmm. So after, I don't know, a few days, it was decided to walk him out. And it was the smartest thing for us to do. Not, again, same as true, not to suggest they're going to do something or take information elsewhere or whatever, but why would you chance that? My cell phone is full of contractors in this area, in this region of the country that I deal with, that I can take that book of business anywhere I damn well please.
Yes.
All I have to do is back it up, you know? And that's it.
It'd be ludicrous for your company to just give you the keys to do that, right?
Yeah, hey, you know what? We know you're going to go to one of our competitors, just hang out the next 2 weeks, continue to
gather info,
absorb information. Yeah, well, it's, you know, and I hadn't thought about it much until you said it, and kudos to you for pointing that out, because a lot of people really did spin it as like what a dick thing to do. It's not at all. It's a smart thing to do.
It's a smart business thing. And
and bear in mind, in both these instances, the example that I gave and the Brad Treleaven situation is that he chose to walk away from the team. Mm-hmm. I largely agree with his decision to do so if it comes down to thinking that they were sticking with Sutter over him or whatever he thought at the time. There's reasons he chose to do what he did.
I agree. Right? I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, this is still a ton less messy than the situation in Toronto.
For sure.
This isn't a joke. It's people had some opinions. They had the right to their opinions. You just made a really good point about why they should feel differently about it, and I agree with you. But this is not a fucking circus like it is in Toronto right now.
No.
So I'm grateful for that. Now, mind you, it's also because Calgary is not Toronto and that we don't have a psycho media, but.
Well, depends on the day.
Fair enough.
I got a question for you, though.
I have an answer.
What Flames topic are you tired of hearing about the most? It could be a current thing that we're dealing with now or something that we've dealt with for decades in Calgary. Like, what topic what bugs you? What do you not want to hear about anymore?
I'll answer that in two parts. So the quick one of the right now, the most pressing, imminent thing in everybody's minds is the success of two players in Florida, which you and I talked a bit about, but more particularly to me, Matthew Tkachuk. Oh, how we give this guy up and Treleaven screwed up with the bridge deal and blah, 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 blah. At the time, he's trying to keep his team together. I'm not saying he made the right move. And Craig Conroy alluded to some of the moves that Treleaven made that maybe weren't that great.
But Craig Conroy also said nobody's perfect, too.
Yeah, and he's right, because this happened. It's less than ideal. I've talked to people, you know, who've, you know, been very close to the Flames, and they weren't big Treleaven fans for their own reasons. And it's like, Matthew Tkachuk's a superstar. We had him here for a few years. It was great. Wish I worked out. It didn't. You got to move on eventually, right? So there's that. That's my, you know, kind of right now. The other issue that's gone on for years is starting to worry me a little bit more and more is like how people are constantly complaining about mediocrity in Calgary. And I've been one of them at times, but to complain about mediocrity and then bitch when you hire a guy like Craig Conroy, who to this point has said all the right things. And I tweeted about this to quite a lot of fanfare the other day. Like, you know, if you don't think this Craig Conroy move is a good move, it's like, you know, paraphrased, like, you know, you're a pessimist. You're not being called, like, there's every reason to believe this is the right move. We'll get more into that. But it's like, just people always thinking like, oh, like it's the Flames. And like, they're always going to be mediocre. And like, they always go for the cheap hire, the easy hire. It's like, well, then go find a different team.
Yeah. I get mad at that too, because like, they always say, well, you know, the Flames don't do anything. Wait a minute. The Flames have made more big trade moves than virtually any other team in the league in the past 6 years. Like,
yeah,
think about the big, say, yeah, huge moves. I mean, we went and got Lindholm and Hannafin. I mean, you think about these giant moves, and people just completely disregard all that.
You know, signing Jacob Markstrom, hot commodity at the time.
He was one. And then Nazem Kadri. People forget that was the most sought after UFA.
Yeah, and he signed in Calgary.
Yeah. You want to hear mine? I honestly do. Honestly, Kyle, When I wrote this down, I thought, oh, Kyle's going to disagree with me. And then I thought, that's good, right? Here it is. I am tired of everybody bitching about ownership in Calgary. And here's why. I think they're a real easy target to bitch at when you're not winning, right?
Absolutely.
And it hasn't been that we haven't been winning. But I always think, and I hear these things, and I see it on social media about how crappy our ownership group is and how, you know, and I always think, you know what, without this ownership group, we don't have a team in Calgary.
Oh, they'd be long, long gone like they nearly were during the infamous Young Guns era.
They stayed through some times in Calgary that were really tough. They did. And I think that often gets forgotten. Now, would another team come to Calgary if this team left? Yes, I would probably agree with that argument. But be careful what you wish for. Does the Arizona Coyotes group ownership group look better than the Flames right now to Flames fans?
Oh, man.
I mean, seriously, I could name off a group of numerous owners. And you know what we aren't thankful for enough in Calgary? Is that our ownership group is pretty influential in the league. They're highly respected amongst the league.
Now, the other piece of this, to your point, is interference from ownership. I know that they have to go to Murray Edwards for certain decisions, and I get that to a point. But in the day-to-day operations of the team, we never hear from Murray Edwards, which some people kind of complain about, which fine, that's how you feel. But I work for a relatively absentee owner, and it's great. You know, he steps in when he feels he needs to. He's there when he needs to be. But
I would highly doubt that Trillivan had to go to him for too much. Obviously,
I don't think he had to go to him for much, but for people to sit there and, you know, complain about his absenteeism. Like, when you own a company, it doesn't mean you're great at running it necessarily. You might be the guy that got off the ground, but as you add to your hockey ops department, your scouting staff, your player personnel, I mean, you have to put it, it's incumbent upon the people you put in place to run your team.
And right now, people should be really happy. If they wanted Sutter gone, he ponied up $8 million to have that happen.
Yeah. That's not chump change. That's not at all.
It's not at all. When you think
there's
about
not a, there's not a lot of teams that necessarily would have done that.
No.
I mean, in this case, I was talking to one scout tonight. Like, that had to happen. But it doesn't mean that they were going to do it. Or they could have dangled this along all summer, tried to negotiate with players, try to make it work somehow, and we'd be in an absolute mess come training camp. So you really can't downplay the importance of spending that money to make somebody that toxic, which I think we can all agree at this point was very toxic.
I do want to say one thing, though. I always loved Daryl Sutter. I did not love him this year.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I just hope that we can put this in the rearview mirror now, and that 15 years from now, when we look back at Daryl Sutter and the Calgary Flames, we look back in a positive light and fond memories, because I do believe that there is a handful of guys that wanted to bring a cup to Calgary, and Daryl Sutter's one of them.
He was the guy that wanted to. He's the guy that came the closest with a much less talented team than the one that actually won in 89.
Yeah.
And a much more competitive league than what there was in 89 in terms of the amount of teams and all that, right? So
arguably a lot less talented team than we had this year. Not even arguably.
Yeah, definitely. I it's easy to say, like, you know, Bob Johnson and Terry Crisp, I guess, is the best Flames coach ever because of, you know, the records of those teams. But I do think Daryl Sutter is the best coach this team ever had.
I do, too. And I did not agree with him this year. And I'm not justifying anything by this.
This year was an absolute disaster. And that is largely on his shoulders and his alone.
I just hope
we can get to the players, too. But, you know, that's my opinion.
I just hope we can, like, crumple it up now, throw it in the garbage, and move on in a positive light. And I think we started doing that with the way these pressers are. It just seems like a different atmosphere.
Well, this is what we talked about earlier before coming on tonight, too, in terms of, you know, everything that was said in the postseason pressers, at the end of season press conference, I should say, exit meetings, all that goes out the window. And I think the message to the players, and Craig Conroy talked a little bit about this in terms of Elias Lindholm, like, got to see where his head's at. You know, some things have changed. I mean, and that's the right thing to do. But I mean, the team is already moving past it in a positive way. Don Maloney was very complimentary of Sutter in his comments, but also very frank in terms of the truth of what the issues were. Right. So I'm with you 100%. I mean, the Calgary Flames, if 2004 hadn't happened, the team probably would have moved. 2004 happened because of Daryl Sutter, Jerome Iguodala, Mickey Kiprusoff. And I mean, even last year, I mean, losing the second round Edmonton sucked, but man, that was a fun season. And I won't hear any different, regardless how it ended. Like,
what people forget, you know, and I got a weird stat here. You know that, okay, there's 32 teams in the league, 20 have won a cup. Yeah. And in this last, and 12 teams have never won. We've at least won once. Our friends in Vancouver have not won. People forget that. And in the last decade, 10 years, just think, the last 10 years, only 6 different teams have won. It's not easy to win the Stanley Cup.
Nope, not at all.
And now, yesterday, we turned a page, and Craig Conroy is hired as general manager.
Great segue. Really like that one.
Initial thoughts.
For a guy who I thought might be rusty a few weeks in that podcast, you really pulled one out there. I like that. initial thoughts. I'm going to throw this back to you. And this has been said in the media a lot, and rightfully so. It is, without a doubt, the right move. This is a guy that put in his time from the day he retired as a player, from being special advisor to assistant GM. He's got over 10 years experience learning with different people, watching different people, has a phenomenal infectious personality, which I think is key in any industry, such that you get along with your peers, your competitors, your competition. You know, you really, and after watching the press conference, like, again, actions speak louder than words. Action has not begun yet. But what he said was so compelling and so convincing, and he said it with such conviction about in training camp. Hey, I'm leaving spots open. Young guys need to play in this league. Had me hook, line, and sinker.
I knew he would have you. I knew you bought it. Well,
how the hell wouldn't he? I've been complaining about this for a fucking year. Like, anyway, before I start rambling with my love of Craig Conroy and how I think this is the right move, I want to know your thoughts on it.
Okay, and I'm blatantly honest on this. I have felt really weird the last couple weeks when I've thought about who to hire as a general manager and who to hire as a coach. I'm really struggled with it. And I look at some of the people they interviewed, and I've always trusted Maloney. I've always really liked him. And I hear, you know, Bergevin, and I didn't feel too great about that. Stan Bowman, I didn't feel real great about that. Mark Hunter, I felt horrible about that. I did. Brad Pascal, I didn't for some reason feel real comfortable with
not a Brad Pascal fan myself,
So I hear all these things, right? And I keep looking at Conroy, and I keep looking at Conroy, and I've always thought the world of him. I he's in probably my top 10 Calgary related people that I'd want to go sit and have a beer with. Probably my top 5. I really like him, and I respect him, and I couldn't agree with you more in the fact that when you're running a group, whether it's players, teams, and personnel, like, his personality will be good. I hope he does have that hard side that we heard about in the presser, and so I was happy. But what really made me happy was that the day Tre Living handed in his thing, the next day we didn't get a press conference saying it's Craig Conroy. I'm glad they did due diligence on this. I think that is important. And yep. I was afraid they maybe wouldn't, because I got a feeling Conroy was cheaper than a lot of other guys.
Probably. But I mean, here again, who else would you have liked to have seen? People that they were screaming for Kyle Dubas, which I don't understand.
No, I wasn't either. But I did not want it to be known as the hero hire.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that it was, because they interviewed 30 people.
What a phrase. Yeah.
True. And you know what? And this has been talked about on other hockey talk, but you know, when you interview that many people and you have that many outside perspectives on the Flames, you know?
Yep.
That's golden information, right? Sure. Is that not golden? Yep. And I would hope this organization uses some of that and makes Conroy aware of some of that. So, because sometimes we get in this bubble, right? And I know we do it with our own team. And we only see things through a narrow glass. And I hope they're going to use that to their advantage. But this is a long answer. But Craig Conroy, I'm happy. I do believe in him.
We're talking like Craig Conroy.
I know.
At least long with the answers.
I know.
You and I both, because I did the exact same thing.
So let's talk a little bit about what he said in the thing. And you brought it up. And this is one of the things I wrote down, because I definitely wanted to get your take on it. He didn't guarantee, but he made it pretty well known that youth would play a role.
Yeah.
And I knew you'd be happy with this. And I'm cautiously happy with it. I'm happy with it. But I don't want... Okay, here's my question to you. How much youth can you infuse before it starts to affect you negatively?
It's a matter of who's the most qualified for the positions. I mean, I've done this mock lineup already. I've got 4 to 5 young players in opening night.
We're going to go into this in our next episode in detail, but just roughly, yep. Who do you have? I got Walker Dewar. I got Pelche. I got
Dewar, Pelche. I got Coronado.
Oh, you have Coronado making it right away.
I think he's going to have a great camp. Dark horse would be Phillips if he resigns, because I really still think that guy has not got a legit shot, because Daryl Sutter just didn't give it to him. I don't see anybody on defense.
You don't see Poirier?
No, Poirier's not ready. Defensively, he's not.
I think he needs one more year.
One more. Offensively, 100%. To me, right now, he'd almost be like a Marc-Andre Bergeron. Now, Bergeron had a cannon of a slap shot, but I mean, power play specialist, great puck mover, but that's it, right?
I could see us, if Shillington wasn't here, I could see us living with a few mistakes to have that.
I think he gets a couple games in. He's not going to play a lot. Now, I think the Dustin Wolf thing, I've said this before, and it's a shame that the Wranglers called a cup run is over, but I think that they need to find a way to make Wolf their backup for next season.
And I think that will happen. I hate to see Vladar go. And yep. Connery did talk about it in this presser. He didn't say that they weren't. He said right now, he says the luxury we have is Wolf can go up and down without waivers. But he also said he needs to get games in the NHL because he's earned them. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I think he handled that right in the fact that he can't just say, I'm trading Vladar.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the right answer. There are all kinds of crazy scenarios. Bad contracts get traded. I mean, in this case, I'm kind of talking about Markstrom. Not that I see that happening, but you can't just come out and throw anybody in the bus, especially when you're brand new in the job. Everybody has a clean slate right now, and they've all earned that.
Don't you think Markstrom's just going to be amazing next year again?
Somebody said that today. I think it was Mike Gold maybe tweeted that.
I think he is going to be off the charts next year. Our days of goalies being good for long stretches gone. I mean, look at what's happening with Jake Oettinger. I didn't see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to think there, but I do have faith in Markstrom, and I hope he comes back good. But I also wouldn't mind seeing Dustin Wolf get a fair amount of playing time too.
I think it's like you said earlier, it's a good problem to have. I think we're going to see a fair amount of Dustin Wolf in any case, probably 10, 15 games at the minimum. But I don't know. It's a good thing to, like, it's a good problem to have. The other thing that I was thinking though is, like, I didn't finish my little list of players. I do think Adam Rzeczka is going to have a much longer look. And I know there's some issues around his work ethic, and they're 100% true, but I don't, again, just quickly, don't see anybody on defense. Dustin Wolf to some extent. And I think probably as many as four guys up front. And Dewar and Pelche are locks. Absolute locks.
I think Dewar and Pelche are locks. I think Rzeczka, if you want to count him as a youth still, I guess you kind of do, I guess. I'd say maybe Coronado. I don't know. I think they're going to use kid gloves with that, though, too, because I also don't think it's in the best interest to force him into situations that I want to be cautious on it. I want the youth. I'm not arguing that. Yeah. I just want to be cautious about it, though. I don't want to just...
I think he forces. I think he has a hell of a camp, forces his way onto the team. That's how good I expect him to be.
I'd love that.
If you're wrong.
I'd love that. But I want it earned. I want it earned.
Yeah, 100%. Now...
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, just in terms of some of his other comments, there was a lot to take away from that.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about the things he's learned, how he does things differently, and that I'm kind of excited to see how that is, because this negotiation is going to be really important, right? Tree Living was definitely a shrewd negotiator. He had his Giordano cap for a lot of years. So that piece is going to be really interesting to see. The comment that we're definitely going to have a captain, which is interesting because he doesn't have a coach yet, so I guess it's not up to the coach in this case. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's okay to say that, but I do think... That's a coach's job to determine that, though. I mean, I really think this captain thing is way blown out of proportion.
Yeah, you've said this before.
But I also am smart enough to know that if things didn't go that well this year and there was troubles in the room, and they didn't have a captain, that's maybe not a good thing. Right? So,
well,
So how do I argue that? I mean, so I don't think that's what was wrong last year, but I don't think it probably helped.
No, I don't think it's what's wrong either. I think too many teams go without a captain. I mean, to me, if somebody in your group doesn't stand out as a captain, then maybe there's a problem with your group, right?
Strong point.
That's just how I see it. I mean, we make such a big deal, but when you strip somebody of the captaincy, a la Joe Thornton, Blake Wheeler, Dave Lowry, well... You know, somebody. It's a very important part of a team. If it's a quiet guy like a Joe Sakic, if somebody's more vocal, I mean, whoever it might be, like I think it's important to have one. If you don't, then it's like, okay, well, there's really that much character in your group. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out, and also his comments about, you know, the coaching search. I mean, that's well underway. I think it's safe to say.
Where do we go with that? Where do we go with that? So what we're hearing is we've heard. Mitch Love, obviously, Ryan Huska, Alex Tanguay. We've heard Peter Laviolette. We've heard Gerard Gallant. Who else am I forgetting?
If they hire Alex Tanguay as head coach after I sold my two Tanguay game-worn jerseys, I'm going to be so pissed.
They aren't hiring him as head coach.
No, I don't think so either. But
what is your thoughts? Okay, a name that has not been brought up that I think should at least bear... I don't know. I've always liked the coach, Dave Tippett.
I'm not sure why he hasn't been brought up, honestly.
He's been very successful.
If you were going to say Mike Babcock, I was going to quit the show altogether, just to be clear. No. I hate that man with every fiber of my being.
No. And you should, too. And Kirk Muller has not really been mentioned too much, and I don't know. My gut doesn't feel good on that one. I don't know.
No, I don't have a good feel about that either. Dave Tippett, I'm not sure what the reason is that he hasn't really been brought up.
And I know I'm throwing darts here. I just wondered a little bit why I haven't heard that name at all.
I think there's names that don't get brought up for different reasons. Like one name that I don't know why he got an endorsement so early after their exit, like the next day or something, like Rick Bowness, proud Moncton native, by the way. You know, he's back next season with the Jets, but it's like, okay, clearly there was issues there. That really surprised me. Like, well, I don't know why you'd jump behind your guy before you've had a chance to really evaluate things.
I think because the Jets are so sick and tired of their players underachieving. I don't blame them on that one.
I don't blame them either. I just thought it was really weird to talk about it at all when the season ended. Because to me, it's like we need to evaluate everything. Goes obviously we didn't achieve our goals.
I'm gonna make a prediction. Our next coach struggles. Let's say right.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing this out there, and the players all bitch about it. Right, I know what ownership's gonna say. I don't give a shit about you hating the coach. You son of bitches. You've done this to me once. You're not doing it twice.
Wow. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right? I think you can only go to that well so often, right?
Yeah. To me, it's funny. I talked about Mitch Love tonight, actually, with a scout buddy of mine, and he said that Mitch Love has one of the firmest handshakes he's ever experienced. And that goes along with me. I met this dude on the weekend. Guy's name was Greg, really nice guy. He had a firm handshake, and that told me a lot about his character. Like, I've always believed that that's like a really good indication that somebody at least has, at their core, some good attributes.
Yeah.
So I think Mitch Love is kind of a little bit of a dark horse because of lack of NHL coaching experience. But have you seen the videos how he is with his players, man? Like, that's exactly the vibe Conroy wants.
I don't think he's a dark horse. I think he's the favorite.
Then why not Ryan Huska? Because Ryan Huska's really climbed the ladder too.
You want to know why?
I do.
Because Ryan Huska was on the bench last year. Was he not on the bench last year?
Yeah. No, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Mitch Love was not. Mitch Love is up and coming. They're going to lose him if they don't hire him. Now, they won't lose him right away because he's under contract.
Yeah.
But I think it's a full purge of the bench, man. I do.
Here's the thing. You're making this complicated, which is why I like doing this with you, because I don't like things to be simple. Ask anybody who knows me. So it's not Huska's fault.
I'm not. Whose fault is it?
Daryl Sutter's.
No. There is a ton of people that have blood on their hands from last year.
Fair enough.
A ton.
But can a guy like Ryan Huska, you know, can he not wash the blood off and be given a fresh start? You know?
I don't know. Let me ask you this one. You'd choose Ryan Huska over Mitch Love?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. I just think he's right there with him.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go this whole new look with Craig Conroy, this whole new attitude, why would you not go with the two-time AHL Coach of the Year?
There's no reason not to, but I mean, you don't just like fire Ryan Huska. I'm not suggesting you're playing either. But
I'm not saying. I think Ryan Huska is a very good asset.
Ryan Huska was a very good AHL coach as well.
He was.
And Mitch Love did have, in my mind, better rosters to work with, which is not to say
he did have better rosters.
Yeah. So I don't think either one's a bad choice. But I think I'm not a Kirk Muller guy. I'm done with Daryl Sutter, obviously. If Huska got the job, I wouldn't be upset with Mitch as an assistant or other way around.
Honestly, I don't know that I'm going to be upset either way. If Jared Gallant got hired tomorrow, I don't know that I'd be upset. Peter Laviolette.
Laviolette is one that I like a lot.
I don't think I'd be upset.
No. Gallant, I'm not. I don't know what to do with that.
I just look at the success he's had.
Yeah.
He's a guy that gets the most out of his players. He does, and that's what you need. And Mitch Love may be able to do that too, and Ryan Huska might be able to too.
I don't know. But I think based on this conversation though, I think we can pretty well agree based on Conroy's comments, everything we've heard and seen, that I think Mitch Love is a front runner.
I believe he is a front runner. Now, I don't know that he gets it, but I believe he's definitely the front runner.
Do you believe that because it costs so much money to the tune of $8 million to make Daryl Sutter go away, that ownership wants the cheap hire a la Mitch Love?
I think deep down his wallet does, but I think when he made the decision to do the Sutter thing and made the commitment to Conroy, that I don't know that a million or two here or there is... I don't think he's telling Conroy you have to hire him. Let me put it to you that way.
I don't think so either, but I think it's attractive if there's an internal option that fits the philosophy that they're trying to put down.
Which is, it's not just an internal option. It's And
it's the internal option.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, and I'm an old school guy. So for me to sit here and toot the horn of Mitch Love is kind of rare because I like going.
Man, look at you. You're growing at your old age.
I kind of like going with what you know. You know what I mean? But I also, I'm under the terms on this one is like, well, how do you know unless you give a shot, right? But I sit and I look back.
You know me, I'm just thinking of all these real life analogies comparing them to hockey. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's true in a lot of cases, but not so true in others. Like,
but like Glenn Gullitson was such a freaking disaster.
That was
like I don't
awful.
Awful. God, I just hope to hell this isn't like that, right?
No, demeanor's completely different. Completely different. I can't see this being anything. Like, I watched quite a few videos of Mitch Love with his players and just hearing what little I heard tonight about him. Like,
didn't seem like it's the same situation.
No, he's well-respected. He carries himself well.
Gullitson was, too.
But he's got a confidence that I don't feel like Gullitson had. I think Gullitson got walked down by the players. And, like, I remember his...
Well, that's a worry of a line on Mitch Love.
I just don't see that happening. Because I think there's an ability to connect with people.
So let me ask you a question. So when you're sitting at home thinking about this later tonight, like you will, like we always do.
Yeah, I wish that was my only problem.
And we think about Nazem Kadri's attitude. And a
you're going to think about that.
And a rookie coach. Does it not scare you a little bit?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't.
I'm freaking glad it doesn't scare you.
And I'll tell you why, because to me, I believe that if it's Mitch Love or anybody with those types of skills that Mitch Love seems to possess, they're going to connect with a guy like Kadri.
And they may.
I need you at your best. I've seen you at your best. You know, like this, you know, like I feel like they're good. Like, if you can connect with that guy on a personal level, he can be one of the best two-way centers in the league. If you can't, he can cost you a lot of games like he did this year. And clearly he and Sutter did not connect. Much to my surprise. I thought that was a match.
Was a match made in heaven. So what did you think of the Dave Nonis hire?
I think his previous 10 years in Toronto and Vancouver did nothing to help Flames fans' opinion of him. And I also think as a GM, you're only as good as the staff around you. So four people go on about Nonis as being some kind of a failure. I think you really need to look at the totality of the situations he was in.
I think you might get mad at me on this, but I don't know. I guess we've never talked about this before. He has received rave reviews from Brian Burke.
Yep.
And to me, that holds a little bit of worth.
I think anytime you're as big a personality as Brian Burke and you say that about somebody, that immediately lends itself to have people having faith in you. Now, the only thing with Brian Burke is it's like there's not a lot of substance sometimes to what he says. He's very old school, which I appreciate, but like it means, and don't get me wrong, it means something to me. But I'm trying to think of like some really good Dave Nonis moves or smart things he was involved in. And I think maybe he was just miscast in the big chair.
It's hard when we were, you know, I'm sure if we looked, I mean, you ask a Carolina Hurricanes fan, name me Brad Treliving's big good moves and bad moves. They'd be like, oh shit, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
It's tough when we're not like connected to the little things, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I guess I don't hate it. I don't necessarily love it because I really just don't know what there is to love.
Well, that's it.
But it's another, but I respect and I love that the Flames are willing to have that position because I think multiple heads working together, truly working together, will get you places.
So best trades or the trades of Dave Nonis when his time in Toronto is an article on Leafs Nation about it. They're very peripheral deals for the most part. Oh, yeah, I traded Joel Colburn to his involved Joel Colburn trade with Calgary. I forget about that. A lot of this stuff, like none of it jumps off the page to me. Like a lot of it's very, you know, it's lateral moves, right? Changing personnel for the sake of changing personnel. But and maybe that's why he's suited to the job he's in.
Yeah.
There's a reason he took the gig. I'd be excited to work with a guy like Craig Conroy. I wish I was fucking 1/8 that positive. But I will say, I guess just to wrap up on Dave Nonis, because he didn't say much, don't always going to be involved in necessarily. I think he's got a bit of a bad rap amongst other fan bases because their teams failed. And I don't get the sense that was ever entirely on him.
No.
Ownership not want to spend money, inheriting bad contracts, being overridden by ownership, just not having great scouting staff. There's all kinds of reasons he didn't succeed. But there's a reason everybody likes him.
You know, I was thinking about this today. Could you imagine having a position like a general manager where your fate and your legacy is determined by the guy above you that's Nixon or telling you what to do, and it's your name on the hook for his thoughts?
Yeah, I think.
It'd be a helpless feeling, wouldn't it? And I think it happens a lot more than people think.
It'd be a hopeless feeling, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it?
Let's do some leading questions, Kyle. How would that make you feel? How much would you hate yourself?
Well, it'd be the shits. It's like, well, if this guy here doesn't pull off some good moves above me, I'm going to look like a jackwagon and no one else is going to hire me.
Did you say jackwig?
Jackwagon.
Oh, I was like, what? Oh, man, that was great. Yeah, it almost sounds like... It's like living in a deterministic reality. It's like you don't have any control over anything. You just think that you do.
Yeah.
That'll be on our next Existential Flames podcast. Yeah. For the purposes of this one, yes, that would be a miserable feeling. Yes, I think that happens far too often in the league, and I think it led to a lot of the problems in Toronto, apart from somebody having a losing team ask you for more money. But I digress.
So let's switch gears here now. So this, again, let's talk. So this again, yes. Latok. What's your thoughts?
I think from a brand name, like you can't. It's Jerome McGinley. You can't go wrong with having Jerome McGinley involved with the Flames. You can go wrong if you were to like hire him as like a head coach tomorrow or your GM or something. But I think that guy's still, you know, playing his craft as a coach at all.
So let me ask you this question. So we bring Jerome McGinley in, which I'm not against. I love Jerome McGinley. I think he'd be awesome for the team.
Yeah.
But what happens if things go shitty?
Are you asking me how do you fire Jerome McGinley?
Yes.
You don't, Brad.
What, you know what I'm saying?
Like, Jesus Christ incarnate in Calgary. You can't even talk of that. It's sacrilege.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just... Sometimes these stories scare the shit out of me.
I had the same thought. Exact same thought. I don't know how do you ever move on from that?
No, and that's what I'm saying. And if you do move on, it's going to be freaking tarnished. And I don't want to tarnish anything that Jerome McGinley had to do with this team.
How is Steve Yzerman, GM of the Red Wings, till death do them part?
Well, I don't know. I agree with you. Well, he better get his shit together here. Yzerman's done a good job, but he's got, what, two more years to have it in the playoffs? Well,
he's not that old. He's going to live longer than that.
Well, I understand that, but how patient is the Detroit owner? I don't know. Stuff like that scares me, though. I love it. I love these stories, you know, and it feels good, and I love Jerome McGinley, but it kind of does scare me a little bit. It's like, God.
Hey, man, it's the unknown. It's terrifying.
Like, I think Conroy is a hero in Calgary, but I think in 4 years, if we're struggling and we're out of the playoffs 4 years in a row and they shit can him, like, I'm sorry. Like, I think we would turn the page pretty quickly in Calgary. God, is that mean to say? I don't know.
Yeah, that's very mean. That's not right. Cruel, Brad. What's wrong with you?
But I'm just speaking truthfully.
No, he's not a franchise legend. Like, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the worst case scenario is you have a situation like the schism, almost like a, you know, like Renaissance.
What the hell did you just say?
It's a schism. What does, you know, you have, you have a divide between church and state, right? So this is what real life analogy or modern analogy, Ottawa Senators, Daniel Alfredson. Mm-hmm. How horrible would that have been as a Sens fan to know your best player ever wants nothing to do with your team?
Well, they shit on him.
Yeah, and it was awful.
So why would he want to come back?
He wouldn't. All I'm saying is you can't have things go that badly with your franchise legend. Brad, it ruins everything.
I know.
That's why I'm so worried. To the point about Yzerman Detroit, I don't know. If you bring again Lon, I don't know how you ever move on from that. But the smart thing to do is to bring him on in a
meaningless role.
Yeah, special advisor to the assistant to the general manager. I don't know. What the hell you want to call it, right?
We'll have him dance where Chris Sutter did last year.
Oh. Well, he has his own dance.
I know. Right? That's why I said so that.
There you go. So, but I think, you know, because he's such good friends with Conroy, like, he's got to jump on in some capacity, but it has to be a limited kind of role. And it's like, yeah, Jerome McGinley works for the Flames again, and just take it for what it's worth, the name value of it, right?
I know. I'm not against
carry on with your life otherwise. Yeah. Hopefully. And then eventually he becomes GM, and then you have to fire him, and we can all be miserable together. Let's just, like we were when the season ended.
Let's just hope we win, right?
Isn't that all we do? Is that why we have a podcast to talk about the hope of winning?
Gosh, it's been a lot of hope. Well, you know, last year was really good.
Yeah.
Speaking of real good, let's talk about the Wranglers a little bit.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, good. Positive thoughts, right? My bad.
It was a good season, though.
Like, fantastic.
I mean, when you think about it, like, it's nice to have
a... I can see the heartbreak in your eyes.
No, it's really nice to have a... the last game pissed me off. They allowed 6 goals.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. But... You know, I thought it was a good season. All in all, I mean,
well, look at this. And the thing is, the AHL obviously Calder Cup would have been great, especially for guys like Dustin Wolf, who, my God, he deserved it.
When's the last time we won a Calder Cup? Back in St. John?
Yeah, an hour and a half from here, buddy. Actually, I have to go to St. John for work here. So, yeah, St. John Flames, 2001.
Yeah.
I talked to Jim Playfair about that.
Captained by Marty Murray, I believe.
Yes, it was. Yes, they were. Martin Brochu was the goalie who made an egregious error in the final. Who else was on that team? Steve Bégin was the playoff MVP. He looked like a zombie, like all stitched back together by the time it was over. But yeah. Anyway, to back to the point, I guess. I was going to say quickly, I talked to Jim Playfair, the coach of that team, about 10 years later. He said, man, that place was rocking. Well, yeah, it was... They won the championship. It was like their last or second last season in St. John. Man, I got a lot of cool memories of that team. But yeah, it had been a while. But I mean, the Wranglers had a fantastic season. Their players individually in terms of development were fantastic. Connor Zary had a good year. Jeremy Poirier surprised a lot of people. Pelche proved he's a full-time NHLer, I would say. Wolf is ready. Like, other than winning the Calder Cup, what more can you ask? Like, who really disappointed on the regulars this year? Oh, hey, hang on. What's his name? Kevin Rooney.
Did I see a stat that he had like 7 goals or something? Like, some ridiculously
bad. What, all season?
Yeah.
Or in his life of hockey.
In the American Hockey League, he had like... I might even be wrong. He might not even...
That, you know what? And I said this on Twitter the other day, and a bunch of people kind of flamed me for it, because obviously there's way worse deals than that one. But in terms of... what you get out of it, I don't know that there's many worse deals of Bradtree Living Zion than that one. He got banished to the minors super early because he was terrible in Calgary, and we're stuck with him for another year.
At $1.3 million.
Yeah. We at Flames Unfiltered are not Kevin Rooney fans. Is that fair to say?
Not at all.
How much... Okay, here we go. If tomorrow the Flames freed up $1.3 million more in cap space, how happy would you be?
I'd be really happy, because we need everything we possibly can do. I mean, we have cap issues. Yeah, and there is going to be a big dollar person traded this year.
Yep. There I hope is. It's Kevin Rooney. Not that it's big dollar, but anyway.
It's not
enough good. About that guy. Enough about that guy. He'd just be happy that we mention his name on here.
Yeah, that might be the only time he gets... He hasn't been talked about
in a podcast. All the time I'm going to talk about him.
All right, moving on from the Wranglers, which, by the way... Having them in Calgary was such a huge benefit this year that...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just huge. Quick touch on the World Championships. I'm not going to lie, I have not watched a game. I'm not a World Championships guy. I did see Coronado's been decent. The USA is undefeated, I believe.
Canada's not.
Canada, it's not. Uyghurs been doing well. Toffoli's been okay, and I don't care and don't want to hear... about Milan Lucic, because on the 1st of July, he's not a Flame.
How drunk are you going to get in celebration of both his departure, Jerome McGinley's birthday, and Canada Day?
And it could be the hiring of Jerome McGinley Day.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Happy 45th, 46th birthday to Jerome McGinley.
Is that how old he is?
Yeah, he's July 1st, 77. Yeah, I'm sure of that. Pride of St. Albert, baby. Not many things I don't know about Jerome McGinley. Except for I don't know how to fire him if it ever came to that.
Phil. We're going to put you in charge of figuring out a way.
This is going to be our lowest rated episode ever.
Why do you say that?
Because we're talking about firing Drew McKinley, or I'm talking about it.
No, I just said that, like, I don't know. Anyways.
No, we you covered it well. You covered it well.
Stanley Cup playoffs, we'll touch on them before we let people get on with their lives.
Stanley who?
Stanley Cup playoffs. They're actually still playing, albeit sweeping everybody here now all of a sudden. But yeah. Florida up on Carolina 3-0 and Vegas up on Dallas 3-0. Well, first of all, are the teams left surprising you?
Yeah.
Who are you cheering for? Like, who do you kind of got?
Florida, Tkachuk and Bennett.
I kind of am, too. They're a fun team to watch.
All right, two things. They were both really good Flames, Tkachuk especially. That's thing number one. Thing number two, who the hell else could you possibly care about of these four teams left?
You forgot about Lomberg.
Oh, Ryan Lomberg. I can't believe he made the NHL full-time. I can't believe it. Kids, there's hope for you.
Oh, I like him.
Say your prayers and eat your vitamins.
The Florida team works hard. They do. They work really hard. And I know Bobrovsky's been off the charts, but that team
he's been phenomenal.
That team is for real. And Vegas, I don't know. Do we just want Vegas to win this year and then
get it out of their system?
Get it out of their system like Colorado did last year?
Yes and no. Actually, speaking of that, like, man, how about that cross check from Jamie Benn on Mark Stone? Eh? Do you see that?
It was bad.
That was a bad, dumb move. Holy Lord, that was stupid.
I had one of my friends is arguing with me today saying that Petro Angelo's slash on Draisaitl was worse than Jamie Benn. And I'm like, are you crazy? Would you rather have a broken wrist or a broken neck?
Yeah. I mean, they're both incredibly stupid needless plays, so. You know, I'd fire them both into the sun for doing that, but that's up to George Parros, not me.
I, you know, when I saw that one last night, I'm like, man, that looked a little. I mean, I know there wasn't a sucker punch before it, but it was slightly Bertuzzi like.
Actually, no, that's not a bad analogy. We always worry about the consequence of actions, right? Not what could have happened necessarily. And it wasn't that far off.
Well, I'm tired of penalties based on consequences.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. This was a bad one.
Yeah, very first.
Ottinger's shocked me. I don't know. It's been a fun playoffs. I've really actually really enjoyed this year's playoffs. I've watched a lot, actually. A lot more than...
Well, both these series are sweeps. I mean, conceivably, the Cup Finals start quite soon and could end fairly early by NHL standards.
Yeah, which is fine. We need a good long break in the summer.
Oh, yeah, it's almost June. Like, let's get to summertime.
Got the draft coming up, and
lots to look forward to.
Coach hire is probably the next thing. That's probably what's next on the docket, I would guess. And I don't know. We're gonna be back when that happens, or right around the time frame that happens. If we don't have anything, we'll do a show June 15th, 14th ish.
Well, and in the meantime, we can always interact on our. Forgive the word, but socials. I used that word for the first time in my life.
Socials.
I said I was checking my socials to a really good friend of mine, and she laughed at me hysterically. And I've never said it before. I don't know why I said it then. And I swear to God, I've never said it.
Let's say it every episode now.
Oh,
follow us on our socials.
Then she won't listen.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't want
it's so
that.
Ridiculous. It's a stupid word, but anyway. But yeah, my point, apart from my own idiocy, is, you know, interact with us on Twitter, through social media. You know, let's... keep the conversations going as you prepare for the next big news, which, as you say, will likely be the coaching selection and then the draft, and then it's into, you know, personnel.
Yeah, we are going to be talking, coach award show, draft preview next episode. Then we'll get to the heart of it, talking about UFAs, who to sign, who to get rid of, who to try to get. Lots of talk. How the hell we're going to get under the cap? We need to figure out that, too. Lots to talk about here. Kyle.
We're spooky.
I hope you're enjoying your summer. And if it's kind of summer now, it's officially summer now.
It's warm as hell up here and it's busy as hell at work. So that means it's summer.
It's summer. Check us out on our socials at VanLewis14 and at Brad Brood. And of course, at Flames Unfiltered. We'll see you soon, Flames fans.
Adios. Till next time.
Connected Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter @FlameUnfiltered. Check out the Facebook page @FlamesUnfiltered.
Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The win column, playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.